We do appreciate that. Appreciate all the singing, but that last song, that's what we are tonight.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Vessel of mercy. Before I forget, Brother Asbury asked me to relate to everyone that they missed being here, wish they could be here. But, Sister Asbury's mom passed away, and they have some things that they need to take care of, but do pray for them. Also, we do ask you to continue to pray for Brent Solomon.
Amen.
I've been at Zohar for 4 years. Brent's 22. And since I've been there, he's had a broken hip and two strokes. And the first stroke affected his speech. And this last stroke, he was paralyzed on his right side. He is able to walk now with a four-pronged cane, but it's quite an effort. He has very, very little movement in his right hand. But do continue to pray for him. He does seem to be making improvement each and every day. And we do covet your prayers for him. Also, we would like to thank the Home Baptist Church for all your prayers for us and our ministry and all your support. There's no words to express what it means to us. Well, we thank the Lord. Tonight we'd like to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. We'd like to read verses 13 through verse 17 of Ezekiel chapter 11. And it came to pass, when I, Ezekiel, prophesied, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now God is speaking, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, unto us in this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. If we keep a mark there and go back to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 24. In 2 Kings 24, we'd like to begin reading with verse 11. And we read here of how Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, surrounded Jerusalem, took into captivity over 10,000 people. In verse 11, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. We see here that the best people, the most skilled individuals, were taken into captivity, while the rest remained in the land. Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah chapter 24. We'll not turn there to save time. But he spoke of those who were carried away into captivity. He described them as good figs. And he described the ones who were left behind as bad figs. And it would appear from a human standpoint that those who were left behind were better off than those who were carried into captivity. But according to Jeremiah chapter 24, that was not the case at all. And what we read here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 11, we read of the Babylonian captivity. And Ezekiel was one of those individuals carried into captivity. And Ezekiel, we know, was a priest. Ezekiel was a prophet. And he ministered during the darkest days of Judah's history. That is the 70-year period of Babylonian captivity. And the Lord gave Ezekiel, we want to take our message tonight from verse 16. Ezekiel is speaking to this remnant that had been taken captive. And we want to take our message from the last part of verse 16. We have a promise of God. Brother Cummins just preached on faith. And I hope by faith tonight we can grasp this promise of the Lord. The promise reads, "Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come." There's a lot of comfort for a child of God in those words. It's a lot of encouragement. There's a lot of strength. Tonight, we simply desire to be an encouragement to the people of God. We want to notice two things, two main points. Number one, we want to see where God's people, you and I as God's people, often find ourselves. The circumstances we often find ourselves in. And as we look at those different circumstances that we find ourselves in, we would remind you of the promise that we just read. And then our second point, we want to look at some of the specifics of that promise in verse 16. But again, this is referring to the individuals who were carried in, over 10,000 of them, carried into Babylonian captivity. We often find ourselves under the chastisement of God. God threatened Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, that if they as a nation sinned against God, that God would scatter them among the nations. And we see that in the 70-year captivity. God was chastening Israel. God was chastening them because they had sinned and rebelled against God. Writer of Hebrews tells us that God as a father chastens His children. You and I, as children of God, we find ourselves sometimes under the chastening hand of the Lord. And we find ourselves under the chastening hand of God because of sin. And because of our own rebellion, we find ourselves under the chastening hand of the Lord. These individuals that were carried off into captivity, they experienced great grief. They experienced great sorrow. In Psalm 137, verses 1 and 2, speaking of these individuals, we read, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof." They were under the chastening hand of God. Amen. And the result was grief and sorrow. You and I find ourselves there sometimes. But may I remind you that when that is so, when we find ourselves under the chastening hand of God, remember these words, "Yet will I be, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary." It's the promise of the Lord. Secondly, we often find ourselves, just like these individuals, in places of great discomfort. God had driven them into a distant land. He had driven them to rivers and waters that were bitter. They're now in a foreign country where everything was different. Everything was different from what they were used to. Everything was different from their ways. The customs were different. The customs were strange. The languages were different. They were in a land where they were despised. It was a time of great discomfort for the people of God. And do we not also, from time to time, find ourselves in places of discomfort? This world is filled with discomfort for the people of God. There are physical discomforts that we experience. There are mental discomforts that you and I experience. And there are spiritual discomforts that we experience. We often find ourselves in places of discomfort. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. We also find ourselves at times in places of great difficulty. There's no doubt these individuals who were carried away into captivity, it was a very difficult time. Away from their families, in a strange land, it was very, very extremely difficult. And all of us here tonight, we have gone through, and perhaps are going through, times of difficulty. There are times of trouble. There are times when trouble seems to be on every hand. There are times when you turn to the left, there's trouble. You turn to the right, there's trouble. You go forward, there's trouble. You go backward, there's trouble. It seems like everywhere you turn, there's trouble. And we all experience those times. Yet will I be to them a little sanctuary. There are times of adversity. That which is adverse is that which acts in a contrary direction. That it speaks of hostility. It speaks of opposition. We have much opposition today. And we often find ourselves in times of adversity. And no doubt these individuals had adversity. There are times of defeat. There are times of affliction. There are times of persecution. We all experience these things. But through it all, the word of the Lord holds true.
Amen.
Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. We often find ourselves in places of loneliness. I imagine these individuals that were taken away captive got very lonely at times. Separated from their loved ones. Separated from the family and friends. Separated from everything they knew. Separated from home. They got lonely. And it can get lonely serving the Lord. We're never alone. But sometimes we feel like we're all by ourselves. We all experience times of loneliness. But in those times, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. We often find ourselves, just as these individuals, places of disappointment. Through 70 years of captivity, I'm sure these people had disappointment upon disappointment. And we've all been greatly disappointed from time to time. But the promise holds true. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. We often find ourselves, just as these individuals, in places of great temptation. And I believe that every effort was made to get these captives to conform to the ways of Babylon. We know that because we read of four of these captives in the book of Daniel. We read of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names were changed to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And why were their names changed? To get them to conform to Babylon. And no doubt these individuals who were taken captive had many temptations. And no doubt it was very difficult at times not to conform to the ways of Babylon, to the religion of Babylon. I'm sure it was difficult for them at times not to bow to the gods of Babylon. And oh, how often we find ourselves in a world that simply is trying to get us to conform. This world is evil. It's evil in its thinking. It's evil in its ways. And it's evil in its speech. And it's evil in its pursuits. And the world is making every effort to get us to conform. And let's be honest. We're tempted. There are times it's a struggle. There are times it's a real battle not to have our thinking conformed to the ways of this world. This world is atheistic. This world is immoral. This world is permissive and very self-sufficient. And the teachings of this world are aimed at captivating the children of God. It is aimed at drawing us aside from the things of God and from the truths of God. Everything in this world is aimed at drawing our affections away from the Lord. And it's hard sometimes. The truth is, we're more conformed to this world than we think we are. But it's a battle. And there are times when the temptation is strong. And there are times when we think, I can't resist. I can't go on. There are times when we think about just giving in. Oh, read these words, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. There are times of chastisement, discomfort, difficulty, trouble, adversity, affliction, loneliness, disappointments, temptations. The truth is, these are simply some of the waters, the rivers, and the fires that you and I pass through. But notice the promise. We want to look at some of the specifics of this promise. Notice the first four words of the promise. Yet will I be. That's God speaking. Yet will I be. The word yet means nevertheless. So we could read it, nevertheless, and the word nevertheless means notwithstanding. That is, notwithstanding all of these circumstances that we can find ourselves in. Notwithstanding this, God says, I will be. Amen. Notwithstanding all of our difficulties, in spite of all the circumstances, God will be. Oh, we must remember that tonight. God will be. No matter what you're going through right now, no matter how difficult it is right now, God will be. God will continue to be what He's always been. God will be. Oh, that we could believe that. That we would get a hold of that and not let go. Yet will I be. That is, through all the chastisements, through all the discomforts, through all the difficulties, through all the troubles, through all the afflictions, through all the disease, through all the sickness, through all the pain, God says, I will be. What a blessing. That ought to encourage our hearts. That ought to strengthen us. That ought to give us courage to go on. That ought to give us courage to serve God in spite of the circumstances. So let's look at this. Yet will I be. God will be. No matter what. No matter what your circumstances. No matter what happens. God will be sovereign. God will be sovereign. God will be God. Nothing can change that. None of your circumstances can change that. None of your sorrow or none of your grief can change that. Whatever it is we have to go through, God will be sovereign. God will be omnipotent. Yet will I be. In spite of what we go through, yet will I be omnipotent. God can. God can. When we talk about the omnipotence of God, we're simply saying God can. Oh, we know we can't, but we know that God can. God is able today. God is able. God will be omnipotent. God will continue to be omnipotent. God will be omniscient. God is not ignorant of your circumstances. Nothing has caught God off guard. God will be omniscient. He will continue to know everything. He'll continue to know your circumstances and your heart. Nothing changes God. Amen. Yet will I be. Yet will I be immutable. The very words imply that. That is, I will be the same. I will remain the same. If God changes, He's either got to change to the better or to the worse. Which is it? If He changes to the better, then He's not God now. And if He changes to the worst, He's not God. Yet will I be the immutable one. Yes, our circumstances change. Everything about us changes. But God says, yet will I be. Yet will I be. Oh, that we could believe that tonight. Yet will I be. Yet will I be true. No matter what. God says, yet I will be true. Yet I will be faithful. Yes, we fail God. Yes, our brothers and sisters in Christ fail God. But God says, yet will I be true. Yet will I be omnipresent. No matter what we have to go through, God says, yet will I be omnipresent. I want you to know tonight that God is with us. God is above us. God is below us. If I turn this way, God is there. If I turn this way, God is there. If I go backwards, God is there. If I look ahead, God is there. God is there. No matter where I go, He's there. Yet will I be omnipresent. No matter what fires I pass through, no matter what rivers I pass through, God is already there. He's already there. Yet will I be. Yet will I be. Through it all, He will be the beginning and the end. Through it all, God will be the keeper of creation. Through it all, God will be the manager of all affairs. Through it all. Through it all, God will be in control. Through it all, God will be unmoved. God will be unchanged. And through it all, God will be undefeated. God is not defeated tonight. God is not disappointed tonight. God is not discouraged tonight. You and I might be, but God is undefeated.
yet will I be. Yet will I be. He's never undone. Never undone. Through it all, He remains the ruler of rulers. Through it all, He remains the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Yet will I be. Yet will I be the one who never leaves you. No matter what it is tonight that you're going through. No matter where you are tonight. God says, yet will I be the one who will never leave you. We need to believe that. Yet will I be the one who never forsakes you. Yet will I be the one who will never mislead you. I've gone the wrong direction many times in my life, but never because God misled me. Never. Yet will I be the one who never misleads you. The one who never forgets you. All your brothers and sisters in Christ, they might forget. Your family might forget. But God says, yet will I be. He's the one who never forgets. He never forgets us. He's the one who never overlooks us. Never does. Yet will I be the one who will pick you up when you fall. We all trip. We all stumble. We all fall. Yet God says, yet will I be. Yet will I be the one who will pick you up when you fall. Yet will I be the one who forgives when you fail. Yet will I be the strong one when we are at our weakest. When we're hurt, physically, mentally, spiritually, God says, yet will I be the one who mends. God can mend. God can heal whatever hurts that someone may experience. God can heal. Yet will I be the one who feeds you when you're hungry. Yet will I be the one who shields you. Yet will I be the one who comforts and provides for you. Yet will I be. Then notice the next two words. Yet will I be to them. Personal. Personal. We need a personal knowledge and a personal experience of God. To them. To them. The undeserving ones. We're undeserving of God's mercies. Undeserving of the least of God's mercies. Never are we deserving of the blessings and the mercies of God. But it's to these that God says, yet will I be. And then notice the next words. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. As a little sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place of refuge. God says, no matter what you're going through, yet will I be that place of refuge. Our problem is tonight we often flee for the wrong refuge. We often make lies our refuge. But wherever you are tonight, wherever you dwell tonight, God is a constant place of refuge. You can flee to Him. Whatever your circumstances are tonight, you can flee to Him. A refuge is a place of protection.
When God says, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary, He is saying, yet will I be a place of protection. I'm always protected by God. It is a place of safety. Place of safety. Oh, we often feel that we are in danger. But God says, yet will I be place of safety. A sanctuary is also a place of stillness. It's a place of rest. This world is a place of weariness. But near at hand is a place of rest. Near at hand is a place of rest. Child of God. God is a very present help in trouble. Yes, sometimes our troubles overwhelm us. But God is more real than any trouble we have. And God is near. And God is saying tonight, whatever your trouble, whatever it is tonight that concerns you, yet will I be to them a place of rest. Where do you seek rest tonight? The problem is, many times people run to the world for rest. You will not find it there. The child of God will not find rest in this world. Amen. You will not find rest in wandering and fleeing from God. You will not find rest by walking contrary to the Word of God. Amen. You will find rest in the Lord. Amen. And there is a rest for us tonight. A sanctuary, a place of mercy. Though children of God, we can get into terrible shape. And these children of Israel were brought into bondage because of sin. Many of God's people tonight are in bondage because of sin. The condition they're in, they can't pray. The condition they're in, they can't worship. The condition they're in, they cannot serve God. But God says, yet will I be a place of mercy. You can come to Him tonight and find mercy. And it's plenteous. Our sins are innumerable. Our shortcomings are innumerable. But God's mercy is plenteous. A sanctuary is also a place of cleansing. Place of cleansing. We have a place of cleansing tonight. You may be defiled by sin, but I want you to know there's a place of cleansing near at hand. It is a place of communion and revelation. That's what God is to us tonight. And He goes on, the next phrase, says, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. And then notice, in the countries, God had scattered them. In the countries where they shall come. There is not a one of us here tonight that know for sure where we'll be tomorrow. We don't know. We know what we're planning. But God makes a promise here. He says, whatever country it is that you find yourself in, yet will I be. And wherever it is that we might find ourselves in the future, you might find yourself in the hog pen of sin. But the promise remains the same. Yet will I be. Yet will I be. You may find yourself in a place of great sorrow and grief where your heart is breaking and you're overwhelmed. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. I don't know. I don't know what circumstances I might find myself in. You don't know what circumstances you might find yourself in. But we know this tonight. Yet will I be, says God. And all we ought to take comfort and encouragement. And all this tells us is we that are saved, we're secure. My salvation depends entirely upon God. And when I read those words, yet will I be, that means I am secure. The very one who brought us from death to life, the very one who brought us from guilt to pardon, the one who brought us from condemnation to justification, that very one says, yet will I be. That is, my justification can never be overthrown. My pardon can never be done away with. Because God continues to be. So I pray tonight that those four words might stick in our hearts and our minds. Yet will I be. That's God speaking. Yet will I be. Wherever you are tonight, can you hear those words? Yet will I be. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in tonight, can you hear those words? Can you believe those words? Yet will I be. Whatever problems you have tonight, whatever difficulties you have tonight, can you hear and believe those words? Yet will I be. We find strength there in comfort. God bless you.